Sure, there were pirates in the Caribbean, but what about the Great Lakes? This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. We have a project here at Michigan Radio called Am I Curious?
What?
When?
Why?
I am curious.
You ask the questions, we put the questions up for a vote, then we answer the winning question with the person who asked it. Shelley Scott's question won a recent round. She asked us, have there ever been pirates on the Great Lakes?
And I thought, we've got such nice water bodies around here. Why don't we hear anything about, you know, fantastic things that happened on the Great Lakes?
Scott is an engineer at Ford, and she's also a leader of her daughter's Girl Scout troop. And these fifth grade girls had some questions about freshwater pirates, too.
What do pirate ships look like? Were there any pirate treasure in the Great Lakes?
How do they get away with stealing other people's treasure?
That was Maria Coco, Lily Simmel, and Shannon Scott. I took all of the Girl Scouts' questions with me to Toledo to talk with Chris Gilchrist. He's the executive director of the National Museum of the Great Lakes.
Although the pirates of the Great Lakes generally didn't have parrots on their shoulder and rarely walked with a piece of wood for their leg, there were pirates on the Great Lakes.
The most famous Great Lakes pirate operated around the turn of the 20th century. Gilchrist says Dan Seavey is the only man known to be formally charged with piracy on the Great Lakes.
His most famous race is when he takes the Nellie Johnson and steals the Nellie Johnson, a little schooner, and is chased across Lake Michigan by the U.S. Revenue Cutter Services and is eventually caught, put in irons. That's something that's very piratey, and brought to justice.
Gilchrist says Seavey was known for putting up fake port lights so that ships coming in would crash on the rocks. Then his people would board the ship and steal its cargo. Gilchrist says up until the mid-1800s, there was a Wild West mentality on the Great Lakes. Pirates stole beaver pelts, timber, and sometimes ships. He says pirate ships looked like every other boat sailing on the lakes, a schooner or a sloop. And he says back then, boats moved faster than the written word.
There is no phone, there's no telegraph until the 1860s, 1870s. And in that void, it was easy to steal a cargo and take it 20 miles down the road and sell it before word could get out.
Okay, so there were pirates on the Great Lakes, but what about treasure?
Yes, there were boats that sank with gold on it.
Banks on the East Coast sent gold to banks in Chicago and Detroit and other cities around the Great Lakes. But he says the people who insured that gold went to any length to get it back.
The odds are all of that was recovered, and there's no need to run down and take a scuba lesson to go think you're going to make a lot of money finding gold on Great Lakes shipwrecks.
And we had one more question from the Girl Scout troop.
My name is Carolyn Shane. I was wondering why pirates talk like they do, like in movies, like why do they say arg so much?
Truss him up for the cat first. Arr, then stripe him till he falls and douse him with salt. Arr, and when he comes to, arr, and then let him have it again.
Sorry, Blackbeard. Chris Gilchrist says Great Lakes pirates sounded just like everyone around them.
You're going to find pirates with a Scandinavian accent up in the Wisconsin area. You're going to have more of a German-Irish dialect down in Ohio.
Gilchrist says pirates in our region were tough, but they were practical, too. They wore knitted wool caps and mittens and sweaters.
It wasn't usually a cardigan. It would have been a pullover, and perhaps it would have been a turtleneck because it was cold in October, November.
And they were more domestic than you might have guessed. When the lakes iced over, the sweater-wearing pirates would head home until May.
Arr!
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.